Glory to Jesus Christ! Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East.
Light of the East is also underwritten by a grant from the charitable Koch Foundation, whose vision is to strengthen and propagate the Catholic faith by providing grant support for a wide variety of evangelization efforts. Learn more at KochFoundation.org. Koch spelled K-O-C-H. And Light of the East is also supported by Eastern Christian Publications, where you can find the prayers of the Catholic Byzantine Daily Office at ecpubs.com and easternchristianmedia.com, a broadband network. For you to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that's easternchristianpublications.com.
I'm speaking to you from a very special place, and I'm going to have a very special person, a longtime, very special friend of ours, explain to you where we are, he and I both, along with other esteemed individuals, and why we're here, and all about that, and all about what else our esteemed guest has to offer. So we welcome again to Light of the East, Jack Fiegel. Welcome, Jack. Jack Fiegel of Eastern Christian Publications. Where are we, Jack, and why?
Hi, Father. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to him forever.
We're here in a little town called Velhrad, the Czech Republic. They now call this place Czechia. They've changed the name Czechia. To Czechia, following after Slovakia from Slovak Republic. Anyway, Velhrad, Czechia is a little town in the farmlands of Czechia, which is far eastern Czechia, which is very close to the Slovak border, the western Slovak border. And this, by tradition, is the town where Cyril Methodius settled and lived and evangelized the Slavs. They were requested by the great Prince of Moravia to come and bring Christianity to this region, and they were dispatched by the Patriarch and the Emperor of Constantinople back in the 9th century. So this is now over 1,000 years later, we're here in the same place where they used to live and work, and where they created the Cyrillic alphabet, Cyril Methodius, Cyrillic, that's where that name comes from, which is the foundational language, the Church Slavonic that we've used in our churches for hundreds and hundreds of years.
And during their time, the church was together. The Eastern and Western churches were united as one, although they were, of course, East and West, they still had their own particular identities. But sometime after, not too long, unfortunately, there was the great split, the great schism, and we now form the Orthodox churches and the Roman Catholic Church, which are no longer in communion with each other. But of course, some of the Orthodox churches reunited with Rome, parts of them did, and that is what we know now today as the Eastern Catholic churches. However, we're going to fast forward a few more centuries. That after that schism, it took a few centuries, but after that schism, there was a special effort at unity. It was in the late 19th century into the early 20th century, occurred here also at Velhrad. And that is why this is a very special place to be. However, speaking of unity, I have something from Jack Fiegel that I think is fascinating and very important and relevant today. And it is a book about the union of Užhorod, which is what brought my particular Byzantine Catholic Church in the Slavic region back into union with Rome. And Jack's going to tell you about that book and about that reunion.
Yes, Father. The book is entitled simply The Union of Užhorod. It was written by a church historian about 50 years ago by the name of Michael Lotzko, a Jesuit, who wrote a definitive history of the context and the surrounding times in the middle of the 17th century. when our church essentially was created, the Ruthenian Byzantine Catholic Church came from what was called the Union of Užhorod in the year 1646. In fact, it was, I think, April the 24th. Mm-hmm. So we just had the celebration of that about a month ago. To correspond with this year, the 380th anniversary, okay. 1646, the bishops, the Council of Hierarchs of the Byzantine Ruthenian Church in America, asked me to reprint Father Lotzko's book that's been out of print for many, many years. And so I took a copy, scanned it, and reprinted it as a facsimile edition in order to honor the 380th anniversary of the Union of Užhorod. And that book is also is available on our website, ecpubs.com, Eastern Christian Publications, or ecpubs for short. That's the name of the website. And it's called The Union of Užhorod. It's featured on our homepage, and it gives the definitive history of the origins of our particular church. But the Union of Užhorod was important. It followed the same principles of the Union of Brest, but it was about 50 or 60 clergy who signed an agreement with Rome that they could keep all of their Eastern traditions, but yet be in communion with the Bishop of Rome and commemorate the Pope at the Divine Liturgies. And that was the creation and foundation of our church 380 years ago.
The region we're talking about here is in the most western part of Ukraine and the eastern part of Slovakia, where there's a mountain range sometimes referred to as the Lower Tatras, but they're actually, their real name is the Carpathian Mountains, which are the Lower Tatras, but it's also called the Carpathian Mountains. And that region was evangelized by St. Cyril Methodius, who, of course, were Byzantine missionaries. So they brought the Byzantine style of the faith to these people. And, of course, again, that was before there was this great schism between East and West. There was no Orthodox versus Roman Catholic at that time. So they came at a very providential time, and they are symbols of unity in the church. And they are the patrons. Actually, they were named co-patrons by St. John Paul II. Of Europe, along with Saint Benedict. Jack, in this book, it gives even the history, even earlier, during, and even after, doesn't it? It's a very thorough history.
Yeah, it's a very, very comprehensive academic study, but full of lots of details and information about what our people were going through and why the Union came about. It's interesting that only 10 years ago was the document itself discovered in the archives of the Diocese of Prešov, and there were skeptics 10, 20 years ago who thought the Union of Užhorod really didn't exist, and it was just a figment of someone's imagination.
So we would still be Orthodox?
Yeah. And so, you know, the claim was that, you know, there was nothing that went on. There's a scholar, a father, who has resurrected that, and he discovered the document in Prešov, and he wrote an introduction to this reprint that we did based on his scholarly analysis and what he discovered in the archives. And we actually reprinted a copy of the Union itself with the signatures and all of the conditions. It's only a one-pager with all the signatures on the backside.
There's another reason why this whole area of the world is very, very significant for Christianity and especially for Catholicism, East and West. And that is because in this region of the world, which was governed at one time by the Austro-Hungarian Empire, that empire was the one that was able to repel at least three different assaults from Islam to take over Christian Europe. They came up through that area, and it was the Austro-Hungarian Empire with their armies, which is in this region we're talking about, with the Carpathian Mountains, the very region that Cyril Methodius evangelized. And there were three huge battles, one of the most significant ones and famous ones, for which G.K. Chesterton wrote a poem, was the Battle of Lepanto. This was a battle in which it was a naval battle, actually, and the Christian ships were basically outgunned at the time, and the Pope begged all of the Catholics across Europe to pray for this effort. And what happened was during the battle, and again, it was on sea, so it depended on wind. During the battle, the wind miraculously changed directions, which gave the Christian Navy the advantage, and they were able to then defeat the attack from the Islamic forces, and that kept Islam from overtaking Europe from this area. So there were three main battles, at least three. There's one, the Battle of Vienna, the Battle of Lepanto, the Battle of Zenta. There are at least three main battles. that helped to keep Islam from overcoming Christian Europe. And it was right in this region. It's a very significant region. It's sort of the crossroads of Europe. We're actually at the epicenter of Europe. Proud to say that's where Jack and me, my heritage is, our national and spiritual heritage is right from the epicenter of Europe, which was always critical. And as we know today, with the war, unfortunately, the war between Ukraine and Russia, it is still an area fought over and desired and coveted. You think after all these centuries that would be all taken care of, all ironed out and at peace, but I guess not. But it's sort of a backwards way of affirming the significance of this region and the people that were there and the history that was there. So I'm really glad that we can bring in this history, and especially through Jack Fingal's publications. Jack, here's some other things too that would be of interest for people.
Yes, Father. So this area is known for its dedication to Cyril Methodius. But for the last several years, and this I think is the third conference or congress, it's a worldwide congress of Russian Byzantine Catholics from all sorts of parts of the world outside of Russia. They have emigres and others who have converted to the Russian Catholic Church. And they're here listening to talks. You give a wonderful talk. You're going to give a wonderful talk tomorrow, and looking forward to it. We've heard some distinguished speakers already. And the Congress only has 20 or 30 people, so it's very, very small. But they're gathered from every part of the world. They're Father Lawrence Cross, who wrote the book Eastern Christianity, the Byzantine Tradition, which is on our website that introduces the whole church to the West. He's the organizer of these congresses. He's here with his helper, Sister Baruti, and others who are very, very famous. And one distinguished speaker who spoke last night, Father Cyril Hovoron, is in the midst of the Ukrainian situation. He was an ordained Orthodox priest under the Moscow Patriarchate, but he came out and publicly went against the war, and he was defrocked by Moscow and has now joined the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of Constantinople. And he's switched, and he's an old friend of ours that gave a wonderful talk last night about the situation in the front lines. He's been there several times. His mother still lives in Kiev. And as you said, they're listening and hearing bombs drop almost every night. So that's the purpose. They're here to support themselves and to give witness to Russians who are not fighting in the war around the world. And they're here from South America, the U.S., Europe, Australia, and everywhere.
Well, thank you, Jack, very much so for this information. Also, for all that you're offering. And one more time, where can people get your literature?
So the website is simply ecpubs.com, ecpubs.com, which stands for Eastern Christian Publications.
God bless you, Jack, for all of your work. And thank all of you for listening. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every day, Father Loya posts a brief 2-minute Facebook video on the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish homepage. You'll be amazed at what you can learn just by watching. Light of the East mission is Christianity's reunion and to tell the story of the Eastern lung of the Catholic Church. We need your support. In order to keep Light of the East on the air, you can make a donation now by going to ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. And then donate securely using any major credit card. With your help, we can keep Light of the East's illumination bright. Every weekday morning, including Saturdays, on Facebook, Father Loya talks about everyday issues through the perspective of Byzantine Catholicism. For example,
we've been talking for the last several days about how divided we are as a nation, marriages, nations within America, and so on. Such a divided country. And we said because one of the reasons is we've forgotten how to communicate and communicate as persons.
Then, on Wednesdays, Father Tom's alter ego, Southside Joe, gives his everyman Southside Chicago Byzantine Catholic perspective on what may be concerning you.
Hey, it's Wednesday. You know what that means? I get to get my 2 cents in, whether you like it or not. You know, the priest's been talking about communication, especially about getting the message. Make sure you get the message from the person. Check in with them. Make sure you got it right.
Visit the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish Facebook homepage every morning for just another way to think about things.
You know, I love being a Byzantine Catholic.
I'm Bishop Robert Pipta of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma, and you are listening to our very own Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
The Tabor Life Institute, which is dedicated to the formation and education in the theology of the body. To find out more about the Tabor Life Institute, you can go to taborlife.org. That's taborlife.org. Especially if you're interested in conferences and retreats, in particular for youth, young adults, and also for those of you who speak Spanish. That's taborlife.org.
We're pleased to have on our program today as a very special guest. And if you haven't made all of your summer plans, I have the place for you. It's actually a very special conference. And here to talk about it is the head of that conference, our good friend, Jack Fiegel. Jack, so what's coming up this summer that's cooking that I'm inviting and encouraging everyone to try and schedule into their summertime plans?
Yeah, this particular year is very, very special for an ecumenical conference that I started, can you believe, 30 years ago?
No, I can't believe it.
This is going to be the 30th anniversary Orientale Lumen Conference, Light of the East. In
East,
Latin,
yeah.
So you and I, we share the same titles for our programs. This is an ecumenical gathering of laypersons. Mm-hmm. So it's grassroots, as Patriarch Bartholomew would call it, a grassroots that he says is rooted in heaven. The Orientale Lumen Conferences have been meeting every year in Washington since 1997. That was the first conference, so this will be number 30. We've had other conferences in San Diego and Detroit and three in Constantinople that were very special. And what we do is we gather significant church leaders, ecumenists, theologians, to give talks and have a panel discussion about each of their talks. We have an opportunity for people to pray together, ecumenical prayer services at least once or twice a day. We follow the Byzantine daily office. And then we have meals and social time together. So it's got academic education for the mind. It's got social contact and interaction with people for the soul, and spirituality for, you know, growing in Christ through prayer. This year, the 30th anniversary, the theme will be about the three agreed statements on primacy and synodality, the international dialogue level. And we're saying perhaps this is a ecumenical crossroad because the Catholics and Orthodox have agreed on the Bishop of Rome as the primate for the entire universal church, and that the Catholics have agreed that there are levels of primacy below that, essentially regional or patriarchal. Mm-hmm. And those two levels have been agreed at the International Dialogue. It needs to filter down into the church, into the hierarchy, into the laity, and be accepted. And how the Bishop of Rome actually conducts his office is, of course, the devil's in the details that need to be worked out. But there's a framework for an agreement about synodality and primacy, which is a major, major accomplishment that even our good friend Callistos Timothy Ware said the only issue in his bottom line was the primacy of the Bishop of Rome.
And to clarify something on that, a lot of times you hear people say, especially Catholics, they'll say, well, so the Orthodox Church doesn't believe in the Pope. Okay, no, that's not exactly right, as you just heard Jack say that. They do believe in the Pope. There was never a problem of them believing in the Pope. It's what does that belief mean? In other words, what really is, and I'm going to use a term here, what is the jurisdiction, the actual jurisdiction of the Pope? In other words, what is the extent of his leadership, his power, as it were? They sometimes call that universal jurisdiction. The East and Western churches, no matter how adamant they became, especially the East, about the papacy, they always believed, when they were honest, in all honesty, they always believed, the East always believed, that the Bishop of Rome held some kind of special place, a kind of special, he sort of presided in a special place. He was sort of a tiebreaker, to put it in very, very simple terms. The East always acknowledged that. The controversy came when the extent of his power seemed to grow in the eyes of the East in the way the East thought was sort of disproportionate or not correct, not intended by Christ and St. Peter and so on. That has been the controversy. And that's why I'm thrilled to hear, as Jack said, that they have come to agreements. Both sides, East and West, have come to certain agreements on that. Because that is, as he said, that is the biggest sticking point. A lot of times people will say, well, why aren't we in union with each other, the Orthodox and the Catholic churches? What are the issues for reunion? Well, at the top of that list would be this whole issue of the actual jurisdiction, the extent of the jurisdiction of the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, especially like the fact that most Eastern churches, Catholic and Orthodox, have their own, I'll use again a term oversimplifying, but it's called, I'll call it mini popes. In other words, they have what we call patriarchs. You know, the Pope is a patriarch too. But these Eastern churches have their own patriarchs, which are the heads of their individual churches. But ideally, those patriarchs and those churches should be and were in union with the Pope of Rome, with him being the one that had sort of pride of presence, as it were, pride of place. So this is just to clarify a little bit of this controversy, and it's great to hear that there's been some progress in this. Jack, how long are these Oriental conferences? Does it go on a week, a couple of days, what?
Yeah, so this year it's going to be essentially 2.5 days on weekdays, so the clergy can come without missing church. Laity might have to take some time off or come on a vacation. It's held in Washington, D.C., a retreat house. It's next door to the John Paul II Shrine that is owned and run by the Knights of Columbus. And they bought the retreat house and have upgraded it and modernized it. And so it's now reopened, and we'll be using that for overnight accommodations and for our meetings. And we'll be praying in the chapel of the John Paul II Shrine. So they're held in Washington. It'll start with Monday at dinner time and go through Wednesday at dinner time. And we have 5 speakers lined up over the course of those 2 days, and some fairly significant names.
Where can they find out about this to register and so on?
Yeah, so we have a dedicated website called olfoundation.net. So Oriental Lumen Foundation.net, olfoundation.net. And there's a special button on there to go register for the 30th anniversary, the 30th Oriental Lumen Conference. And if you'd like, Father, I'll mention the cost, or we keep down to the minimum. It's $325 for 3 days of meals and the use of the building and the travel of the speakers. And then the rooms are $100 per night per person, which for Washington, D.C. these days is really, really pretty cheap.
Yes. So what will some of these speakers be talking about, Jack?
So our theme for this conference that I've asked them to reflect on is ecumenism at a crossroads, agreements achieved, what's next? In other words, given that we've reached these agreements about synodality and primacy with the agreed statements, places are called Ravenna, Chieti, and Alexandria. That's where the meetings were held. With those 3 agreed statements, what is next? Why can't we have unity today? And in fact, Pope Leo said at the Week of Christian Unity in February, very vehemently, the strongest support for church unity that any pope has ever given, he proclaimed, we are one. We are one. We have to act like it.
Yes.
And, you know, accept that we are one already.
Yes.
And let's start acting like it, is what he said, literally. So we're going to pick up on that. I hope we have the people to do it. And we're also expecting to have video lectures from the Orthodox co-chair of the International Dialogue, Archbishop Job of Pisidia from Southern Turkey. He can't be here in person, but he's going to send us a video. And the other is a good friend of ours, Archbishop Boris Gudziak, who is the head of ecumenical affairs for the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church. Again, his travel schedules with the war and going back and forth to Ukraine, he can't be in person, but he's agreed to make a video recorded lecture for us to give us his thoughts about our theme.
Now, those of you who are Catholic, you know, we're supposed to listen to our Pope, right? When he advises things. Well, several popes, and that's going back a long time in history, several popes have said, including this one, one of the first things he said when he became Pope, this our current Pope, Pope Leo XIV, was that, quote, Latin Rite Catholics need to learn more about the Eastern churches. So let's be real Catholic and obey our Pope. He's certainly not asking too much of us. He's encouraging us to learn about our brothers and sisters, our fellow brothers and sisters. As he said, we are one. Yes, we are one. And you know, Jack, the thing that disappoints me about this whole split, this whole schism, and why we have to work towards ecumenism, is that we sometimes act as though the split, the schism, the disunity is the starting point. And we're almost like protective of that. Like, we can't possibly come together. Or we've had these reasons, oh, no, I can't unite with you. Really, the starting point, what should be given pride of place, is the unity. Now, I'm not talking about being superficial, about just coming together because it feels good or it's superficial. That's a very serious thing, because we don't want to then come together, find out we didn't do it right, and there's a disunity again. However, my impression is that we sometimes almost like are protective, like it's a little child, a little baby that we gave birth to, this disunity. We're so protective of that, when really we should be protective of the unity and keep striving for that. And attend these conferences is certainly something that people listening can do. And Jack, one more time, where can they sign up for this conference?
Yes, the website is olconference.net, orientalelementconference.net, olconference.net. To sign up for our ecumenical conference. It'll be July 13 to 15, so just about 6 weeks from now. Well, 4 weeks from when this broadcast. And need to hurry, because the pricing right now is our early bird special, and prices will go up as we get closer to the conference.
A great thing to do. Hopefully we'll see many of you there. Thank you, Jack, for joining us. God bless you in your work. And thank you all for listening. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
To hear Light of the East again, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the Resources tab and on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening to Light of the East. We encourage you to tell a friend about Light of the East and to visit ByzantineCatholic.com. Light of the East is produced by ADC Media.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To learn more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue Light of the East with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, spelled Will-Cook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Or donate online on the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many happy years.